Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Girlfriend's Guide to Sports podcast. My name is Claire Coles, and this is your weekly update. It's Monday, March 25th. Let's start with what you missed over the last week. Then we'll move on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. All right, so March Madness has officially begun, and it is as crazy as we expected. And of course, I hope none of y'all took what I said to heart because I lost the first game in the bracket. So go figure. But we are going to actually start with a little bit of baseball news, as Shohei Ohtani is in the news, but for a different reason rather than his prowess on the field. Ohtani's interpreter, Epe Muzahara, has been fired after he made $4.5 million of wire transfers from Ohtani's account to a bookmaking operation. So in other words, in layman's speak, that basically means he bet on sports, and sports betting is still illegal in the state of California. And also, none of those bets were on baseball, but it is still illegal to bet on sports in the state of California. And so he has since been fired, and an investigation is now open. It is believed so far that Ohtani is not involved. All right, so moving on to the NBA, which was kind of quiet this week as the March Madness went crazy. Monday night, the Grizzlies-Kings game did go into overtime after the Grizzlies were trailing at half, but the Memphis team came back, scoring 29 in the final two quarters to force overtime. The Kings would get the last laugh, though, winning by 10. Brunson and the Knicks won their fifth straight road game on Monday over the Warriors. Hart played the entire game. He is the first NBA player to do so this season. They had another game on Thursday against the Nuggets, so that is where that streak would end, as they lost by 13. So the streak ends at 5 straight road games. And that's pretty much it. Streak over. Tuesday was pretty lame with no upsets. However, the last game of the night, Nuggets at the Timberwolves, was entertaining. It didn't look like it was going to be at half. The Nuggets put up 35 in each of the first two quarters to lead going into the locker room by 15, but the Wolves started making a comeback in the third quarter. Ultimately, Minnesota Edwards would miss a game-tying three-pointer at the buzzer. So it was a close game. On Wednesday, the Heat would get a late three-pointer to topple the Cavaliers at home. Pretty impressive considering only two players on the Heat scored 15-plus points. The Kings won their game handily against the Raptors with Sabonis's 24th triple-double of the season. The Celtics wrapped up the division with their close win over the Bucks on Wednesday as well. Although they won by 3, the game was not really close until the final quarter. The game between the Pelicans and the Magic should have been closer than it was on Thursday. They both have the same number of wins after the Magic destroyed the New Orleans team on that day. Same goes for the Bulls and the Rockets game. The Rockets beat Chicago by 10 and now have the same overall win total. However, Houston is much better at home with a win record of 24-11. The Wizards upset the Kings, who had been on a hot streak lately. Small forward Kazuma was responsible for 31 points by himself to give his team the 12th win of the season. The Knicks beat the Nets on Saturday with their second player of the season to play an entire game. This time it was by McBride. On Sunday, the 76ers beat the Clippers 121-107 after a quick start putting up 41 in the first. The Heat then upset the Cavaliers in dominating fashion by 37. Finishing up the night, the Lakers won a close one over the Pacers in a high-scoring game, 150-145. The most prolific NBA player this week was Rockets shooting guard Jalen Green, who put up 42 points on Tuesday on their game against the Wizards. And then also two more teams have been eliminated from playoffs this week, the Grizzlies in the West and the Hornets in the East. All right, but really you came for a March Madness recap, right? Because that's what this next huge section is going to be about. Let's go over weekend one, starting with the first four. So technically this was Tuesday and Wednesday. 16 Wagner barely beat Howard by three. UVA, ranked or seeded number 10, missed a lot of free throws to lose a close one to Colorado State, only scoring 42 points the entire game. It was not close. I forgot about that. It was not close. Sticking with that, number 10, Colorado, lived up to expectations, bouncing Boise State out of the tournament by seven. So Colorado and Colorado State both advance out of the first four. And then 16, Grambling, came back from 14 points down in the second half to win in overtime against Montana State. So that completes the field of 64, and we started Thursday at 11 on with day one. Well, game one, and like I said, my bracket was busted when number six BYU fell to 11 Duquesne. That was not the biggest upset of the day, though. Hands down, the biggest headline was number three seed Kentucky going down to 14 seed Oakland. And that is not Oakland, California, by the way. It's actually in Michigan. They would beat the Wildcats in both halves. It does help when guard Jack Golke had 10 three-pointers. There were no other upsets in the top four teams or in the top four seeds at all. It wasn't a good day to be a six seed, though. Number 11, Oregon, handled number six, South Carolina, taking the lead with 6 minutes to go in the first, and they never gave it back. Also, 11 seed NC State's Middle Brooks was unstoppable at the end of their game. They would go on to upset six Texas Tech and majorly killed my bracket, as I had the Red Raiders going sneakily far into my Final Four as my crazy pick. Number 9, Michigan State, easily beat number 8, Mississippi State, by 18 to round out day one upsets. And then technically, seed 7, Dayton, was supposed to beat number 10, Nevada, but Vegas was wrong. So thanks for that one, betters. Also, number 10, Drake, kept it close, but two back-to-back turnovers cost them the W over 7, Wazoo. Easiest win of the day went to number 2 Tennessee over 15 St. Peter's. The Vols won by 34. Never a doubt there. It was 26 at half. Day 2, biggest headline from Friday was easily number 4 Auburn falling to 13 Yale. SEC champ Auburn was on the line shooting a free throw in the final 6 seconds, trailing by 2, but Auburn misses, gets the rebound twice, and couldn't get a layup in, and they get it one more time and put up a three-pointer for the win with 1.4 seconds to go and miss. Yale wins their second NCAA tournament game in school history. The last time they won was in 2016 against also a high-ranking Baylor. Two of the three 5v12 matchups ended an upset on Friday as well. Number 12, JMU, led the entire way over 5 Wisconsin, winning by double digits. Number 12, Grand Canyon, pulled away at the end of their game to upset 5 St. Mary's. This was their first NCAA tournament win. But the one that failed was 12 UAB, who made an epic comeback but did fall 3 points short to upset 5 San Diego State, which was last year's Cinderella story. All brackets were busted after Wisconsin fell to James Madison. And I told you, one play-in team always makes the second round, and here it is. Colorado, number 10, upset number 7, Florida, who is always super streaky. It was a close game. We were all tied up at half, but the Buffs come out on top by 2. And then number 9, Northwestern, number 8, FAU game went into overtime after a close start with FAU on top by 1 with only 20 points. Things picked up in the second half, though, and Northwestern put the nail in the coffin in the overtime, outscoring the Owls by 12. In direct contrast to that, number 10, Texas A&M, put up 58 points in their first half and finished off 8 Nebraska, winning by 15. Utah State was the only 8 seed to beat their number 9 seed opponent, TCU. Similarly, 6 Clemson was the only one to escape the 6 seed losses from the day before. The highest scoring game of the first round was 4 Alabama versus 13 Charleston, which was a high scoring affair with the Tide winning 109-96. I did tell you in the March Madness tips and tricks that the Tide are the highest scoring average team of the entire bracket. Here they are showing it first round. And number 1, UConn beat number 16 Stetson by 41 points for the easiest win on Friday. Good start for the defending champs. Another number 1 seed, Houston, beat number 16 Longwood by 40. Day 3 and second round was a little less exciting. There was only one upset, and that was 5 Gonzaga over an injured and limping 4 Jayhawks. The game was close until the second half when the Zags hit 11 for 12 and won by 23. And that is the last time that both Kentucky and Kansas have missed the Sweet 16 in consecutive tournaments was right after World War II in 1947. We did have 2 games go into overtime, though. Number 11, NC State, and their big boy Burns muscled past 14, Oakland, ending their Cinderella story after round 1. There were 20 lead changes, 16 ties, and no double-digit leads in the 11, Oregon 3, Creighton game. That game went into double overtime before Oregon. Really, it just looked like they ran out of steam. They did not score a single point until the final 34 seconds, and when they did, it was off of free throws. So Creighton escapes. All else that day went really according to plan. And then day 4, number 1 Purdue and 4 Duke easily walked to wins against 8 Utah State and 12 JMU, respectively. Number 5, San Diego State was up 24 at half before destroying 13 Yale, ending another Cinderella story. Similarly, number 1 UConn was killing number 9 Northwestern by 22, then coasted to an easy win. 4 Alabama beat 12 Grand Canyon in both halves. 2 Marquette had a much harder time with 10 Colorado. Marquette was leading at half 45-34, but the Buffs clawed their way back to tie it up at 74 apiece with 4 minutes left. Ultimately, though, the Golden Eagles made their free throws and backed the Buffs into a corner and escaped with the win. Speaking of escaping, the only number 1 seed in trouble pretty much all week, Houston had a solid game, putting 43 up in both halves against number 9, Texas A&M. However, the Aggies came back and hit a 3-point buzzer beater to take it to overtime. Houston shut them down, though, in overtime and escapes a huge upset there. Number 6, Clemson was up by 10 points on number 3, Baylor, by half. And it was a close second half, but thanks to that lead, the Tigers pull off the only upset of day 4. So like I said, it has been a crazy March Madness. All still number 1s are still in. Not a ton of like tops 4 seed crazy upsets, but don't worry, we are just getting started. Lowest ranking team still in is Clemson at number 6, along with NC State at number 11. In the women's bracket, we have started that action as well. This was, if you thought the March Madness bracket and the men's bracket wasn't crazy, the women's really wasn't crazy. The only first big upset of the round was number 6 Louisville falling to 11 Middle Tennessee State in a close one. All else went off as expected. Number 1 South Carolina has won their first 2 rounds by a combined 99 points. In the second round, though, number 2 Ohio State did get upset by 7 Duke last night. Number 2 Stanford survived 7 Iowa State, although it took overtime to get the job done. The ladies' games continued today. And that was literally it as far as like what didn't go according to plan in the women's bracket. In the world of golf, five different players had a piece of the lead during the final round, and there were about seven players within a shot of the lead on the back nine at the Valspar Championship. I literally turned the channel back to basketball and thought Mackenzie Hughes was going to be the winner, but I was wrong when he hit his shot into the water on 13. That really was the turning point there. It was a three-way tie between Hughes, Peter Menalti, and Cameron Young after the 11th. Menalti had only won one previous PGA Tour tournament, and that was 3,058 days prior to the Valspar Championship. That was the Sanderson Farms back in 2015, but Menalti wins it in a close one over Cameron Young down the stretch. The Mizzou grad turned pro in 2009 and has been up and down between tours, the web.com, Korn Ferry Tour to PGA Tour, up and down. But he has only ever competed in the PGA Championship as a major, but now gets the invite to the Masters. Moving along to Olympic sports, and we are going to start off with figure skating as it was World Championships this week in Montreal. And it was a good weekend for the Americans. In the women's competition, Japanese Kaori Sakamoto won her third straight title, but American Levito took silver. Sakamoto is the eighth woman to three-peat and the first since Peggy Fleming did it in the 1960s. In the pairs competition, the Canadian team of Stellato Dudek/Deschamps took the gold. This was a triumphant story as the woman wins her first world title at the age of 40, and she's been competing in the sport since she was 15 years old. In the ice dance, U.S. world title champions Madison Schock and Evan Bates successfully defended their title and did so with ease at their home ice. But we're going to end with the men's competition because it was truly historical. Literally, you should watch Ilya Malinin's long program to watch history being made. He was third after a disappointing short program, just 2 points behind two Japanese skaters. Reigning champ Shoma Uno was leading after the short, but fell multiple times in his free skate and fell apart. His fellow countryman Yuma Kageyama skated and did well, but Malinin was up and it was not a competition. The difference in starting score between Malinin and the others was 109-92, and he went out and nailed it. He hit six perfect quads, starting with the quad axel, which is the hardest jump of them all. He even changed his program to make the difficulty harder while he was going currently. You couldn't even tell. The commentators hadn't told me. I would never have known, but they were shocked. Even Ilya fell to the ice after his performance as he knew he had won his first world title. His score in the free skate was 227.79. That is the highest free program ever. His total score of 333.76 was enough to give him the title by 24 points. And then Frenchman Adam Zayohimfa would get bronze despite adding an illegal backflip to his routine. And the only reason he did this was he basically was like, whatever, it's over, damage is done, and he still did the backflip, and he gets bronze. After this World Championships, the United States will have three spots in every event except the pairs in the next World Championships. It was also conference championship week in women's gymnastics, and we start with the highest score of the weekend in the Big 12. Oklahoma claimed its third straight and 15th total and final Big 12 championship with an NCAA record of the team score of 198.950. Second place was Denver with 179.975 points. The Sooners won every event with a perfect 10, the first time that has been done in conference championship history. In the SEC, LSU took their first conference title since 2019 with one perfect 10 by McLean on balance beam and a team score of 198.075. Haley Bryant was a staple for them and has the most 10s of any active gymnast going into the weekend. We'll have to see if that's still true after the Sooners had 10s all over the board. It was a tight competition, though, with Kentucky leading going into the final rotation. My personal favorite performance was Kentucky's Rhianna Worley's on floor. She had some Michael Jackson thrown in there. It was awesome. The Wildcats did finish third, which is their highest finish in the SEC ever. LSU won by 0.325 points over Alabama. Michigan State won the Big Ten Conference with 197.5 points, beating Minnesota by 0.1. NC State claimed its ACC title with a total team score of 197.550 and claimed 4 of 5 individual titles as well. Utah took the final Pac-12 championships with 198 flat. That was the Utes' fourth straight Pac-12 championships, and they put away UCLA by 0.125. That is the second four-peat ever by any team. Regionals will be April 4th and will be basically in a, kind of like March Madness, will be in a bracket until we get to national championships. Also, UVA won their fourth women's swim and dive national championship this past weekend. The Cavaliers majorly outstripped second place Texas by 86 points by winning 7 individual events and 4 out of 5 relays. Finishing up the podcast with a quick couple of highlights. Football. ESPN will be the official and exclusive rights holder for the college football playoff through the 2031/2032 season. The 6-year deal was agreed on Tuesday for $7.8 billion. This extends that partnership, which began in 2015. And then we had to cover some Formula One because Max Verstappen did not win the Australian Grand Prix this weekend after his right rear brake caught fire during the third lap of the race and he retired. It has been 2 years since he has not finished a race. Ferrari's Carlos Sainz would go on to win the event and displace the world champion from last year. That wraps it up with what happened over the last week. Now let's go over what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. And baseball is back. Opening day is Thursday, not with this game, but earlier in the day. But this game is on regular scheduled programming. The Cubs play the Rangers at 6:35 on ESPN. Saturday, you could catch either the Yankees at the Astros or the Giants at the Padres at 6:15 on Fox. And then Sunday, the Cardinals at the Dodgers at 6 on ESPN to wrap up the first week of the MLB season. In the NCAA, we've got a lot of ranked games in baseball and softball this week, starting with softball on Monday night, number 7 Tennessee versus 25 South Carolina. They will play at 6 o'clock on SEC Network. Then we skip down to Thursday for one of each. One softball game, number 10 Florida versus 20 Mississippi State at 5 on SEC Network. And in the baseball world, number 5 LSU takes on 1 Arkansas, so a top 5 matchup at 6 on ESPN2. On Friday, we've got 2 games in the softball world, ranked versus ranked, number 12 VTech versus 4 Duke at 5 on ACC, followed by number 2 Texas versus 6 Oklahoma State at 7 on ESPN2, followed by the second game of LSU Arkansas for baseball at 7 on SEC Network. Saturday, for the world of softball, there's 3 ranked games, 17 Arkansas versus 5 Georgia at 11 a.m. on SEC Network, then the second game of VTech versus Duke at 11 a.m. on ESPNU, and ending out the day, number 8 Stanford versus 24 Arizona at 9 on ESPN2. 2 back-to-back baseball ranked matchups, 20 UNC versus 16 Wake Forest at 6 on ACC Network, and 23 Auburn versus 7 at Texas A&M at 7 on SEC. Then we got 1 each to round out the week on Sunday. Softball, number 17, Arkansas versus number 5, Georgia at 11 a.m. on ESPN2. And in baseball, 20 UNC versus 16 Wake Forest at 5 on ACC Network. In the NBA, they, again, are keeping it pretty tame for us this week as we're going to get a lot of basketball on the weekend, but in college. So NBA this week, Tuesday, Lakers at the Bucks at 6:30 p.m. on TNT, followed by the Mavericks at the Kings at 9. And on Wednesday, the Clippers take on the 76ers at 6:30 on ESPN, followed by the Suns at the Nuggets at 9. Going on to March Madness, Thursday, we begin the Sweet 16 for the men's tournament. 6 Clemson at 2 Arizona at 6:09 on CBS. Then 5 San Diego State at 1 UConn at 6:39 on TBS. 4 Alabama at 1 UNC, 8:39 on CBS. And 3 Illinois at 2 Iowa State at 9:09 on TBS. Then on Friday, we continue the Sweet 16, 11 NC State at 2 Marquette at 6:09 on CBS. Number 5, Gonzaga takes on number 1 Purdue at 6:39 on TBS. 4, Duke takes on 1 Houston at 8:39 on CBS. And 3, Creighton takes on 2 Tennessee at 9:09 on TBS. The Sweet 16 will take place in Los Angeles and Boston. And then the Elite 8 will be on Saturday and Sunday, 2 each day in Dallas, Detroit, LA, and Boston. So, and those are all obviously TBD at TBD on TBD because we need to see what happens in the Sweet 16. Also, on Saturday, the D2 National Championship game will be at 2 o'clock on CBS. That is the Natty again. For NCAA women's, today, the second rounder began earlier. So I'm going to go ahead and read those out, even though it's some of them have passed. Number 7, Ole Miss at 2, Notre Dame at 1 on ESPN. 6, Tennessee at 3, NC State at 3 on ESPN. 6, Syracuse at 3, UConn at 5 on ESPN. 5, Oklahoma at 4, Indiana at 5:30 on ESPN2. 8, West Virginia at 1, Iowa at 7 p.m. on ESPN. 8, Kansas at 1, USC at 9 on ESPN. And finally, number 5, Utah at 4, Gonzaga at 9:30 on ESPN2. Then once all those games come to conclusion, I will go ahead and update the blog. But on Friday is when we start the women's Sweet 16. So this is the only ones we know that have advanced are South Carolina, seed number 1, seed 1, Texas, and 2, Stanford. And then one game has Duke in it on Saturday. And the Saturday and Friday will be the Sweet 16. Elite 8 will be Sunday and Monday, 2 games on each of those days. Football is also back this weekend as the USFL makes its premier debut on Saturday. I don't know why I said premier debut. They make their debut on Saturday. The Birmingham Stallions will take on the Arlington Renegades at noon on Fox, followed by the St. Louis Battlehawks at Michigan Panthers at 3 on Fox as well. And then on Sunday, the DC Defenders take on San Antonio at 11 on ESPN and the Memphis Showboats at Houston Roughnecks at 2 on ESPN. Remember, this is the XFL league combined with the USFL and the UFL league. It's all now one thing, so it is going to be moving forward. The PGA Tour also goes to Texas this week. Thursday, the Texas Children's Houston Open at Memorial. Round 1 will be at 2 on Golf Channel. Round 2 will be at 2 on Golf Channel on Friday. Then Saturday, round 3 can be watched at 11 a.m. on Golf Channel and 2:30 on NBC, followed by the final round on Sunday at 11 a.m. on Golf Channel, and it switches over to NBC at 1:30 to find out who wins that tournament. Hockey is going on this week. Really only 2 games on normal TV this week. Wednesday, the Bruins at the Lightning at 6:30 on TNT. And Sunday, the Ducks at the Canucks at 2:30 on TNT. That was actually really fun to say. And wrapping it up with Olympic sports, Saturday, sailing, the Australian Sail GP is at 1 p.m. on CBS. And we got some rugby on Sunday, the San Diego Legion versus Miami Sharks at 5 on Fox Sports 1. That wraps it up for me this week. Like I said, it was March Madness truly to a T. A little bit less upsets, I feel like, than normal. But don't worry, we still had 0 brackets left and no one is perfect. So check out the blog, The Girlfriend's Guide to Sports, for more games and times. And I will catch y'all next week.